This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
This is In the News from the Irish Times. I'm Aideen Finnegan. Today, the diplomatic spat over migration between Ireland and the UK. Yesterday, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak doubled down and insisted the UK is not interested in taking back any migrants who enter Ireland from the UK.
I'm not interested in that. We're not going to accept returns from the EU via Ireland when the EU doesn't accept returns back to France where illegal migrants are coming from. Of course we're not going to do that. I'm determined to get our Rwanda scheme up and running because I want a deterrent. I want it to be the case.
No, but this is with the EU that this could be part of.
He was referring to the suggestion by Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, that around 80% of people seeking international protection recently are entering the Republic coming across the border.
I'd say it's higher than 80%.
That figure is in dispute, with Taoiseach Micheál Martin admitting it was not based on hard evidence. But true or not, Sunak is happy to accept the idea. At the weekend, he said it showed the UK's Rwanda scheme is deterring migrants as planned.
Because people are worried about coming here, and that demonstrates exactly what I'm saying.
In response, Taoiseach Simon Harris insisted Ireland would not be a, quote, loophole for anybody's migration challenges, unquote.
Every country's entitled to have its own migration policy, but I certainly don't intend to allow anybody else's migration policy affect the integrity of our own one.
Then, yesterday, a meeting between Justice Minister Helen McEntee and Home Secretary James Cleverly was cancelled at short notice, perhaps to allow tensions ease. But, London correspondent Mark Paul, those tensions don't look like they're easing at all after Rishi Sunak's comments yesterday afternoon, do they?
No, Rishi Sunak's comments were directly contradictory to what Micheál Martin was saying when he was in London yesterday for a meeting of the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference. Micheál Martin stressed repeatedly that as far as the Irish government was concerned, there's already an agreement in place between the two governments that covers the issue of migration and the return of migrants and so on. He said it five or six times in a press conference as he was standing beside a senior member of the British government, Chris Heaton-Harris, the Northern Ireland Secretary. And that seems to directly contradict what Rishi Sunak is saying. He says that the British government isn't going to accept any returns from Ireland at all. Now, I mean, I put it to Chris Heaton-Harris during the meeting. I said, look, if the man standing 3 feet to your left, i.e. the Taoiseach, says that there's an agreement between the two governments, and yet your Prime Minister is saying that they're not going to accept any return of any migrants from Ireland at all, any asylum seekers at all, then surely this is an example of Britain unilaterally threatening to breach an agreement with Ireland. Now, Chris Heaton-Harris denied that. There was a little bit of uncomfortable shifting on his feet. He said absolutely not. But then he reverted to the mantra that Britain would do what it needed to do, that its priority was the deterrent inherent Rwanda migration legislation. And it seems that there's a big political problem there that's going to need to be ironed out at a future stage.
Yeah, so how could that be the case? There is or there isn't an agreement?
Yeah, look, what Chris Heaton-Harris, the Northern Ireland Secretary, kept referring to was the fact that both governments have an obligation under the common travel area between Ireland and Britain and Ireland and the UK to make sure that there's no abuse of it. And he said, look, we'll live up to that. We'll make sure that there's no abuse of it. So what he was suggesting, I suppose, was that migrants who claim asylum in Britain and then travel without documentation checks to Dublin or to the south, to the Republic via Northern Ireland and over the border, he suggested that that was some sort of an abuse and that they would take whatever steps that they would take there. Micheál Martin was referring specifically to an agreement that was reached between Ireland and Britain after Brexit that he said covered all of this. So it's very, very hard to reconcile both governments' positions on it. But I mean, from the British point of view, there really is an incentive for the British government to play up this row. It makes them seem strong to their own electorate. It makes them seem strong in the issue of migration, which is important to Tory voters. It makes them seem strong in the week of the UK local elections when they're, you know, on course to get a bit of a shellacking if the polls are to be believed. So it's certainly in the UK's interest to play at this row, but there is a big political row going on here. It's not just optics, and there's a clear difference in position that politics will be needed to resolve, and I'm sure there's quite a bit of shaking of fists behind the scenes.
I'm guessing that'll be drilled into in the next few days, because obviously pre-Brexit there were EU rules that dealt with who has to process international protection applications, and that was torn up after Brexit. But Micheál Martin is saying no, that was taken care of in, you know, the framework that was drawn up afterwards, and Rishi Sunak is saying, oh, no, this Rwanda scheme now means we deport people to Rwanda and that's it.
Precisely. I mean, Micheál Martin was very, very, very specific that there was an agreement between the British and Irish governments that came about after Brexit that covered all of this. And Rishi Sunak was very, very specific that they weren't going to take the return of any migrants. There's a wider game going on here, which is that Britain would really like to conclude a migrant return deal with the whole of the European Union, or at the very least with France, which is where most of these migrants set off from. And they set off in small boats on the beaches of France. They end up on the beaches of Southeast England. Now, France, all the way through, has refused to do a deal with Britain. It's relied on hidden behind the skirt of the European Union on all of this. But Britain would really like to get some sort of an EU-wide deal, or at the very least, a deal with France. And their point of view is, well, we're not going to do any returns with Ireland as long as France won't play ball with us.
Okay, can we back up for a second, Mark? So the Rwanda scheme is what? Anyone who's applying for international protection in the UK gets sent to Rwanda while their application is adjudicated on. If they are given leave to remain, that is actually leave to remain in Rwanda. They don't get to travel to the UK anyway.
The Rwanda regime applies to anybody who arrives in the UK illegally, right? So if you come through an official channel and try and claim asylum in Britain, you're not automatically deported to Rwanda, but you are automatically deported to Rwanda if you arrived illegally. And if you arrive on a rubber dinghy from the northern coast of France, then you're deemed to have arrived illegally. And under the new regime that'll be in place within 10 to 12 weeks, you're supposed to be deported straight away to Rwanda. You apply for asylum in Rwanda and you are granted, if you're successful as an asylum seeker, you are granted your asylum in Rwanda, and that is where you must stay. You don't go to Rwanda, and if you're successful, then you get to come to Britain. You stay in Rwanda and you never come to Britain. You never get asylum in Britain, except in a very few limited cases. And the real intention of this whole regime is to act as a deterrent to the gangs, the criminal gangs, as the British government repeatedly says, that charge poor, desperate asylum seekers thousands and thousands of euros to pack them onto dangerous dinghies and float them across the channel from France. Summer will be really interesting here, because summer is small boat season in the UK when the numbers traditionally spike. And if the numbers spike this summer, it's not going to look good for Rishi Sunak heading into a general election, which is expected sometime in the autumn or early winter.
Do we know, is it actually deterring people? Because over 7,000 migrants have crossed the channel from France to the UK this year. And in the same time last year, the figure was roughly 6,500. So not really much of a change there. So Rishi Sunak desperately needs a win on this, and this story's come at just the right time for him, hasn't it?
It has. It makes him look tough on the issue. And, you know, the subtext of what Rishi Sunak is saying to the British public is that, look, this thing is causing problems for Ireland. It's already causing migrants who would be already in the UK and sort of in the backlog. And that you know, to try and get ahead of the Rwanda regime, they're getting the boat over to Northern Ireland and travelling down to Dublin over the poorest border between the Republic and the North. And he's portraying that as a win. He's saying, look, my deterrence is working.
And that actually goes to what I was going to ask you, Mark, because what's the level of exposure here for Ireland? Do we know roughly how many people are in the system already that are looking for their international protection application to be adjudicated on, and they think, oh God, I have to get out of here? So basically, I'm trying to work out what the Irish authorities are going to be doing. They're going to be trying to work out, well, geez, what's the maximum number that could be looking to come over here very soon?
There are tens of thousands of people in the backlog waiting to have their asylum cases heard. Now, look, that backlog has been dealt with in a number of ways. They've hired extra judges, they've hired extra staff to try and deal with all of this. But yeah, there's a big risk for the Irish government that in the intervening period, that thousands and thousands of these asylum seekers who have already sort of touched base with the authorities in Britain, that they might decide to try and get ahead of this whole Rwanda thing by getting out to Ireland. I mean, there is, in the background of all of this, there's the kind of spectre of the European Court of Human Rights, which some people expect still might be able to step in and try and prevent some of these flights. But Rishi Sunak has been almost blatant in the way he said that, look, if the European Court of Human Rights interferes, we're out of there. We'll be out of that court. He's been pretty clear on that. So this is his big play, his big issue of strength that he's waving at the British electorate to say, look, all is not lost. I can deliver on this issue. It's very, very important to Tory voters.
Pat Leahy, political editor. Another critical point is that last month here in Ireland, the High Court ruled that because of this Rwanda plan, it's now illegal for the Irish government to send people back to the UK because they may end up in Rwanda. And Rwanda is not, we say, a safe country.
Yeah, and this is one thing that the government proposes to address with emergency legislation this week that's likely to be brought to cabinet by the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, tomorrow. If it gets cabinet approval, then they say they will proceed with emergency legislation, which could be run through the Oireachtas in a matter of days if needed.
Is that all not moot if the UK won't play ball, as we've been hearing from Mark?
It is indeed moot if the UK is saying we are refusing to take anybody back. I mean, my sense is that some of the political heat may have gone out of this by next week after the local elections take place in the UK. And a whole heap of the heat may go out of it after the British general election, which we know will be held at some point over the next 6 months, and which will almost certainly see a change of government. So I think that is uppermost in the mind of people in Dublin. At the same time, you know, whilst there's politics at play very clearly here on the British side and perhaps on the Irish side as well, the substance of the problem that both governments are dealing with is real. It's more than just politics. Migration is a huge issue in the UK. Rishi Sunak, as you know, people will recognize, has been addressing his country since he became prime minister from a lectern that has the words "Stop the boats" on it. And while we haven't reached that stage quite yet in the UK, it's very clear both from our surveys and from the general courses of politics that migration, in a broad sense, has become a political issue here in a way that it really wasn't before. And, you know, whether it was by accident or otherwise that the government pushed this issue of migrants coming and seeking asylum, coming over the border, whether they raised that by accident or by design last week, they're now in a position where they have to be seen to do something about it. And it's just not clear how extensive their suite of options is going to be.
But given how much consternation that 80% figure cited by Helen McEntee has created, it was somewhat surprising yesterday to hear Micheál Martin say it's not statistical, it's not a database or evidence base. Essentially that they can't really stand over that 80% number. He did say it was clear there's been an increase in arrivals from Northern Ireland. Was it calculated or was it a blunder by Helen McEntee to cite a figure there's no evidence for?
Yes, so there was some confusion on this figure last night because Micheál Martin appeared to suggest in London that the figure of 80% was not based on data, but actually some work done by Harry McGee, who'd gone through some parliamentary questions on this, showed that the basis for the 80% figure appears to be the numbers of asylum seekers who are making their first application at the IPO office on Mount Street rather than at ports or airports. And last night, the Department of Justice issued a statement which talked about these numbers and also said that it was the firm assessment, I think were the words they used, of Department of Justice officials based on their interactions with asylum seekers and also based on the numbers that were now making their first application. And of course, the problem of accommodating asylum seekers and the strains on the system are immediately visible in the vicinity of Mount Street, where we have these hundreds of tents, which is a related but also a pressing political issue for the government to deal with. So that is, in turn, that is an issue that is piling pressure on the government here. And having recognised that problem, as the government has now done, it now needs to be seen to do something about it. And that's where we will be left, I think, after cabinet tomorrow and for the rest of the week.
So when Simon Harris said we're going to change the law so we can send people back and we won't be a loophole for anyone else's migration system, was it wise of him to be so direct in that way? But perhaps it might have elevated the diplomatic spat that we've kind of seen to wade into the argument that Rishi Sunak is so happy to have.
I suppose if he wanted to reach an agreed solution with the British government, then
some degree of consultation with the British before he went making statements in public might have been wise about it. But just as there is very clearly politics at play on the British side, you know, who's to say there isn't politics at play on the Irish side? You know, if you think back to Leo Varadkar's early period as Taoiseach, when he very much prospered politically by being seen to stand up to the British government during the Brexit negotiations, then I suppose, you know, one could surmise that maybe Simon Harris might espy a similar political opportunity. I know officials on both sides will be tearing their hair out at their political principles, apparently being content to tear strips off one another. But sometimes politicians will be politicians, you know.
With everything that's happening now, was this not sort of foreseen? I mean, I think that there is a touch of schadenfreude in the UK where they're saying, well, you pushed very hard for this open border. And then on this side, critics might say, yeah, we did want to keep the border open. Was this not an eventuality that was conceived?
Yeah, look, I think there's definitely something in that, Aideen. But look, ultimately, the common travel area between Ireland and Britain predates the EU, and it is something that has to be managed between the Irish and British governments. And while clearly, because Ireland is a member of the EU and because of the rights that EU citizens, the rights of freedom of movement and so forth, there are extra complicated issues to be managed. Ultimately, this will have to be sorted out by the governments working together. There may be a bit of muck throwing before we get to that point, but ultimately that's what will have to be done.
But with elections coming up, is it too much to hope that the UK and Ireland could work constructively together on it for everyone's benefit?
I don't think it's too much to hope for, but it might take a little time.
Pat, I'm conscious that we are kind of talking in very cold language. Obviously, behind every number there is a person who has decided to leave their country for whatever reason. Ireland struck down that law about sending people to the UK because we don't consider Rwanda to be a safe place. Is there a risk that that perspective is being lost in all of this?
It's a difficult question. Ultimately, the political difficulty is, I suppose, to be blunt about it, unwanted migration in large numbers coming into countries that don't want to accommodate it. Now, all of our countries, including Ireland, are signed up to international conventions that obligate us to take in people who are in danger of persecution and worse. And our own law obliges us to do that. But of course, you know, there's a process to be gone through between, you know, in deciding whether people's cases are genuine, or not so much that they're not genuine, but whether they genuinely should attract international protection. My fear actually is that the numbers on the move around the world will overwhelm the systems of receiver countries, which are not set up to deal with mass movements. Now, you know, you talk about mass movements, 20,000 people coming to Ireland this year. It's not, you would have thought, an unmanageable number of people coming. Clearly, the numbers of people coming to some of the countries in southern European countries are much, much greater. I'm not exactly sure what the answers to these questions are, but I am pretty sure that it is going to be a political issue, not just here and in the UK, but all over Europe. And very possibly it may be the number one issue in the forthcoming European elections. So just because there aren't easy answers to it doesn't mean that it is not going to land front and centre in our politics and stay there for the foreseeable future.
Pat Leahy, thank you very much for joining us. That's it for today. For more of Mark Paul and Pat Leahy's analysis, subscribe. Go to irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Aideen Finnegan. This episode was produced by Declan Conlon. In the News, we'll be back tomorrow.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.